Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 93 for the week of January 4th, 2021. Happy New Year. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. So we didn't record a podcast during the week between Christmas and New Year's, but not a whole lot related to trucking occurred during that period. I would note that there are a few regulatory matters, including a proposed rule from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration to add trailer rear impact guards to the list of items that must be examined as part of annual inspections of commercial motor vehicles. FMCSA also proposed guidance on situations that would constitute yard moves under the hours of service regulations and thus would be excluded from calculation of driving time. You can find information on these and other regulatory items at www.fmcsa.gov/regulations. Something else that happened just before our last podcast, and we didn't cover in that podcast, was the announcement of an interim final rule that would allow states to permit third-party skills test examiners to administer CDL skills testing for applicants that they also trained. This has been an issue that's been kicking around for quite some time. The rule, which has not yet been published formally, is potentially at risk of being overturned by the incoming Biden administration as one of the so-called midnight rules, controversial provisions or controversial rulemakings that the incoming administration finds objectionable. It likely will be one of those. It might not be, but there's one that's definitely going to fit into that category, and it's not from FMCSA, but from the Department of Labor. So on New Year's Eve, the White House cleared for publication in the Federal Register a final Labor Department rule that basically provides for when businesses can treat workers as independent contractors rather than employees. The rule hasn't been published, but it basically might as well not be. The Biden administration is certain to reject that rule before it ever takes effect. Okay, let's get into the data. The holidays always distort spot market metrics, but the stress on the spot market that we saw heading into the holidays has truly accentuated those distortions. The best example of all is that in the latest week, which ended on New Year's Day, we saw the highest ratio of loads to trucks ever in the truckstop.com system. The market demand index for week 52 surpassed the record set just the week before. One difference, however, is that the record that had been set during week 51 resulted because capacity fell more than load volume did. During week 52, though, load volume was higher while truck postings fell slightly. In any event, now that we're past the holidays, it's quite possible that the MDI record that was set in week 52 could stand for quite some time, potentially for years. By the way, each of the key segments, dry van, refrigerated, and flatbed, set market demand index records in week 52. Okay, let's talk about spot volume. Total load postings were up more than 10% week over week, with gains in each of the three segments. Dry van load volume rose more than 11 8% week over week. Refrigerated loads jumped nearly 30% to the highest level since the week before Thanksgiving. And flatbed loads increased more than 4% after the sharp plunge during the previous week. Besides the MDI, the other big spot metric of note was rates. The broker-posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, increased nearly 8 cents after a 15-cent jump during week 51. Spot rates were higher only once before, and that was in late June 2018. So the rate environment is very strong. None more so than refrigerated, which added nearly 25 cents to the approximately 34-cent gain the week before. And refrigerated rates fell just short of the record set during the first week of 2018. Dry van rates were up nearly 6 cents, surpassing the record level set the prior week. And flatbed rates were the outlier. They barely budged, but they did stand at the highest level since week 32 of 2018. Okay, let's talk about petroleum and fuel. The price of West Texas Intermediate crude has been fairly stable for the past couple of weeks at around $48, $49 a barrel. While that is stable, that is still the highest price since the pandemic began. But at least it isn't continuing to rise. Meanwhile, diesel prices rose for the ninth straight week during the week ended January 4th. However, if there's any consolation in that, it's that the gain was only half a cent, which is the smallest gain during that period. Also, the increase during the prior week was just 1.6 cents, which was the smallest gain since the first week of that streak. For the record, the current price of diesel is $2.64, which is the highest price since March. Okay, let's wrap up our discussion of weekly data with a look at the unemployment situation. We continue to see gradual improvement. In the latest week, the week ended December 26th, initial claims were down slightly to 787,000, which is still well above the record level prior to the pandemic. Continued claims in state programs were down modestly to 5.2 million during the week ended December 19th, which is the latest date available for that data. And continued claims in the two federal programs were down by 832,000 to a combined 13.2 million during the week ended December 12th, which is the most recent period for that data. These improvements come as President Trump finally signed into law the latest round of rescue and stimulus, which includes a 10-week extension of federal unemployment benefit programs, including reinstatement of a $300 a week add-on that had expired this fall. Another big piece of the latest COVID-19 relief package is a $600 direct payment to taxpayers. This comes after a $1,200 payment that went out last April and May. Because the systems were already in place to distribute the funds, it's likely that most taxpayers have received those funds already or likely will by the end of the current week or next week. And that brings us to one of the more volatile indicators that we've been following during the pandemic, and that is personal income and spending, which is reported monthly by the Bureau of Economic Analysis. Okay, let's start with spending. In November, personal spending fell 0.4%. That's not much, but it is the first time since April that spending was down from the prior month. Meanwhile, personal income was down 1.1%. And that resulted principally from reductions in disbursements from government programs such as Lost Wages Assistance Program and the Paycheck Protection Program. And that combined with the smallest gain in wage income since the beginning of the recovery. It's too early to say what the December numbers will look like, but we can be quite certain what January numbers will look like relative to December. Personal income will be up sharply from December, due principally to the $600 taxpayer payments and to the restoration of the $300 a week federal supplement on unemployment benefits, as well as any other follow-on benefits that come from the additional funds spent, such as on the Paycheck Protection Program. And some of that money does go to individuals, by the way. Very small businesses will essentially get that money directly. Moreover, we can be pretty sure that personal spending will be higher too, because of all that additional money pumped into the economy, the $600 taxpayer payments and the additional money going to unemployed. Of course, personal income in February will be down from January because we will have disbursed all that $600 taxpayer money. And frankly, it's unclear how effective these one-time boosts are in jumpstarting the economy. Besides, it wasn't really the consumer sector that needed that overall. Now, obviously, people who remain unemployed or underemployed still need help, but the $600 direct payments weren't really targeted specifically at them, unlike the augmented unemployment benefits, of course. So the real question is what another round of stimulus might look like and what might happen. To some degree, we might know some of that answer by Wednesday morning following the Senate runoffs in Georgia. If Democrats were to flip both seats, that might expedite work on a stimulus package, but the substance of that package might be quite different from one that would require sign-off by Senate Republicans. In any event, regardless of the outcome, the margins in the Senate likely will be too narrow to expect quick passage of anything that represents a dramatic departure from the status quo. Okay, let's talk about manufacturing. We continue to see struggles on the production side of the manufacturing industry, although it is steadily recovering. However, the demand side is doing quite well. Total orders for durable manufactured goods were up nearly 1% in November from October and up 3.8% year over year. Compared to February, durable goods orders are still down, but only by 0.8%. However, we are still seeing some skewing due to weak civilian aircraft orders. If we exclude transportation equipment, durable goods orders were up 0.4% in November and were up 4.8% year over year and 5% since February. The two principal components of transportation equipment are automobiles and jet aircraft. Motor vehicles and parts are doing pretty well. Orders were up 2.4% month over month in November, and they were up 6% year over year and 4.5% since February. The best thing you can say about civilian aircraft is that that sector has netted positive order figures for three straight months, and that's the first time since the pandemic began. However, those orders are still very anemic in the range of $1 or $2 billion net per month, and that's down from what was typically about an $8 billion or more order board per month before the pandemic. One subset of durable goods orders that we highlight is orders for core capital goods, which are capital goods that exclude defense and exclude aircraft. It's a pretty good proxy for business development. Core capital goods were up 0.4% in November month over month, and they were up 6.5% and 6.7% over November of last year and February of this year, respectively. Like home sales, this is a sector of the economy that seems to be doing better than it would have been doing absent the pandemic. And speaking of home sales, over the past couple of weeks, we've gotten data on sales of both new and existing homes. Now, both were down in November, but they've been so extraordinary during the second half of 2020 that I'm not particularly concerned about a brief slump. We'll just have to be watching it carefully to make sure that that doesn't become a trend. The decline in sales of new single-family homes was quite sharp, dropping 11% from October. However, sales were still nearly 21% ahead of November 2019 and nearly 18% ahead of February. Sales of existing single-family homes were down 2.4%, which is really more of a pause in the recent surge than a true decline. Sales are up nearly 26% year over year and about 16% since February. Also, the sales of existing homes for sale at the current sales rate is just 2.2 months, which is the lowest on record. Indeed, we might be seeing supply as something of a constraint, Although in announcing the figures, the National Association of Realtors attributing the stalling of sales principally to a combination of slower job growth and the rise in COVID-19 cases. One thing that certainly is helping the housing market is attractive financing. Mortgage rates fell to their 16th all-time low of 2020 during the week of Christmas and were up just a tick last week. Finally, let's talk about U.S. international trade in goods. Both exports and imports were up month over month in November, but the growth in imports was stronger. Goods exports were up 0.8%, led by foods, feeds, and beverages. The biggest decliner in exports was automotive, which was down just over 1%. Compared to February, goods exports were down 7.6% in November. Only two categories of exports were higher: foods, feeds, and beverages, which were up nearly 17%, primarily due to exports to China, and consumer goods, which were up 2.3%. Most other categories were down by double-digit percentages, although automotive exports were down only 7%. Goods imports were up 2.6% month over month, led by consumer goods, which were up 6.7%. The only category that was down month over month was automotive, which fell 3.2%. Compared to February, imports are up 7.9%, again led by consumer goods, which are up about 20%. The only decliners are other goods, which are down about 8%, and industrial supplies, down 3.7%. Interestingly, while industrial supplies are down, capital goods imports are up 11.6%. It seems like those would move it, you know, roughly in the same direction, but obviously not. So that's it for this week's podcast. Let's recap. Spot market imbalance set a record in the latest week. Diesel prices are still rising, but the increases are slowing. New unemployment claims eased slightly in the latest week. Continued unemployment claims fell. Personal spending fell in November for the first time since April. Personal income fell, mostly due to the loss of federal funds. Durable goods orders were stronger in November. Home sales declined, but remained strong compared to pre-pandemic rates. Mortgage rates remained extraordinarily low, and goods exports and imports were higher in November. One more thing, we now have basically all of the November economic indicators, so the presentation accompanying this podcast has two slides that summarize their performance in November relative to October and February. And again, you can download that presentation at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 93 for the week of January 4th, 2021. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.